about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. A little airish out there today. 37 degrees. The winds are out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour. And I'll have your long ranger forecast for you coming up later in the show. We got a full show today, so don't go nowhere at all. First couple segments here. I have Mr. Kent Watkins in here from SEI Agritech here in Elk City. We're going to talk numbers on just profitability, if there's any. And then later on, around 12:30, starting around our third segment, famous Brandon Hickey will be in here from the Elk City Livestock Auction and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Being here, we're going to be talk a little bit about last year's cattle, what he thinks happened, and what the future looks like. So great show in store. Later on, the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, I'll be giving that, and then I'll give the grain forecast out for you, or the grain cash grain prices out for you. So anyway, welcome to the show, Mr. Watkins.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a little cold out there today.
Yeah, it's going to be even colder tomorrow from what they say.
I know. Did you you parked out front. You didn't see all those T-posts on the back of my pickup, did
No,
you?
I didn't.
Well, I wouldn't get a quarter mile's worth today, so me and my sidekick are going to go out there after the show today, and probably won't be no sweating today.
Probably not.
But anyway, we're going to have a little fun building some fence.
Well, it'll be a good way to keep warm.
Yeah, there exactly.
There you go.
No use in... getting anything hydraulic or air to do it. Just do it manual today and get a workout. So, yeah. Well, it was a crazy year, wasn't it?
It was, and I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
Really. But here we are in the first week of January, and it's still the same old thing.
Yep.
Short on moisture and rainfall and nothing in sight. And I'll tell you what I brought today. There's not a lot of good news in it. But there's probably some silver linings in it that people need to really think about before we start into this growing season.
Yeah, because hey, everybody, we're streaming live on Facebook. We're streaming live on the Paragon app. We're streaming live on the radio, if you hadn't noticed. And we are on KCOFM.com. If you missed part of the show and you want to hear it all, you can go back and replay it on that. Grain prices are up,
yep.
But so is everything else.
It's not as good as it looks to the non-ag person out there. It looks like a gold mine to somebody sitting on the outside looking in, but if you're an ag, you know the truth, and it's just not the case. And I went back over some notes from previous shows, and in the November show, I gave y'all part of the information from a USDA report on profitability for 2017. That's the closest one that they have complete. And in that report, it basically left the farmers in the United States with a 3% profit overall. And that's from East Coast to West Coast, everything in between. 2018 is pretty much out now. And of that 3%, in 2018, overall, you lost another...
Same as in 2017.
Yeah, you lost another 12% of that 3%. Okay. Agribusiness took another 2.5% out of you, and that's in despite of a 1.3% increase in productivity.
In spite of it going up, our productivity going up.
Yes. But here's the worst part. Of that, as far as I can see, farm income is down 43% from the height in 2013. So we've lost 43% of profitability since 2013. That was the height of productivity in the last 10 or 12.
Right.
So with that in mind, how do you go forward and what do you want to do going forward? To my mind, especially the way ag chemicals and fertilizers are being priced today, it's all about soil health. It just is. There are no new miracles in a jug coming down the pipeline. They're going to revamp some very old ones that came out in the 70s and they put on the shelf in the early 80s because they quit working. They're going to dust them off, give them new marketing, give them a new package, and tell the young guys who don't remember them that they're the brand new deal and they're not the brand new deal. And they're going to be priced for the Midwest, but we're going to have to endure it on the Southern Plains. So if a person will concentrate on soil health and the five pillars of soil health, and those five pillars, I have to write them down because I can't remember. First one for the Southern Plains is armor on the soil. Keep the ground covered up all the time. Low disturbance. That means leave the tillage tools at the barn and either get a no-till planter or drill, whichever. Living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible. The cover crops that you plant, make sure they're a diverse cover crop. And then the last one, some farms can, some farms can't, but it's livestock. That speeds the process up. You can get there without the livestock, but the livestock speed it up.
Right.
So continue to work in those areas and start eliminating your dependence on ag chemicals and fertilizers, commercial fertilizers. Because the truth of the matter is, on the Southern Plain, we can't afford them. We just can't. I checked around yesterday. Average cost on a ton of fertilizer, N, P, and K, doesn't really matter which one, $1,000 a ton.
Yep.
By April, it's going to be $1,200 or $1,300 a ton on nitrogen, and that's urea.
Right.
I mean, 28.00 is $650. Now, come on. $650 for 28.00. You know, when a tote of five and a half pound Roundup is costing $16,000. There's something real wrong with that picture.
Yeah, big time.
For a product that doesn't work very well anymore. But if a guy will think about, just stop and think about what he tank mixes today versus what he tank mixed 5 years ago, it'll make him sit up and think about what he's really doing.
Right.
And it's going to have to change for us on the Southern Plains, or we're not going to make this.
Well, I have Kent Watkins in here from SEI Agritech, and we're talking cost and what's been happening with our ag industry, because it's no different in the cattle than it is on the farm side. But anyway, I'll be right back. We're going to take a short break, and I got a question to ask him. I already kind of hinted to him when I was thinking, but he made a really good point to me. So you're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. and we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
It hadn't warmed up any. It's 37 degrees, winds out of the northeast at 14 miles an hour. And as everybody remembers around here, the northeast wind just feels like it's got a little moisture in it, and it's cold. It'll just cut through you. Well, I have a question for you, Mr. Kent Watkins. I got Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech on here with me, if you're just now joining. And my question is, I was telling you about what I heard this morning, and I'm going to repeat it, and I'm going to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
So I was listening to these guys talk about, a couple of years ago, wheat was in the $4 to $5 range, mainly in the $4 range, and fertilizer was around $450, if I remember right. And now wheat's around the $750 to $8 mark, but fertilizer's in the $900 to $1,200 range. One of the comments was, what difference does it make? You know, if you'll pay $450 to fertilize wheat ground that's only worth $4 a bushel, why won't you just pay the same amount double because your wheat's doubled?
Well, that sounds all right, but it goes back to rate of return on investment and loss of margin, and the higher fertilizer or other inputs go up, the grain crop price will have to escalate at the same pace or higher to make that worthwhile, and that's not a direct correlation. Your rate of return on $1,000 ton of fertilizer today on $7 or $8 wheat is less than the $450 fertilizer at $5.
Yeah. $5 wheat. Yeah. Yep.
So you're losing ground doing that.
Right.
You really are.
Yep.
And plus, that doesn't even take into consider the risk of having a crop to begin with.
Right.
And, yeah, you can eliminate some risk with crop insurance, sure. But you still had to go spend the money at $1,000 a ton. That's $50 an acre on 100 pounds of product. And that's kind of what you need to do. Especially if you grazed anything this year. We didn't graze much, but
it looked good for a while.
Yeah, for about a week.
Yeah, it looked good for about a week, dude.
You know, it's not a good bet. It's just not on the southern plains. It's not a good bet when we have an annual rainfall of 25 inches overall. And the further west you go,
the worse
it gets.
Right.
It really does. So that's not a good bet at all.
Well, and then we got a La Nina settled in over us right now, and the guy's got to be careful what he does.
Absolutely. The first step that I would recommend to everybody is take the time and go out and actually pull good soil samples. I recommend Regen Ag Lab out of Pleasanton, Nebraska. If you use that lab, if you'll get on their website, they'll have all that information there. They have what they call the Haney test. That test is named after the PhD who grew up in Thomas, Oklahoma, Dr. Rick Haney. He developed that test, and he proved that test out. I think it's $50 per sample. And I know that people are out there saying, yeah, but you can do a university test for $12 or $18 or whatever.
You get what you pay for.
There you go. If you do a full quarter, that's 31 cents an acre. This year, it's going to be the best 31 cents you'll ever going to spend. That test will tell you, the Haney test will tell you what you have locked up in the soil, what's available to you in the soil, Maybe a shot of lime now, or gyp if your pH requires it.
Right.
And maybe nothing. It may just be sitting there available to you that you don't have to go out and buy. And this year, I would be looking at that very hard.
Guessing this year is a whole different ballpark.
Yeah, this is not the year to be guessing. It's just really not. We're way past the point of demand destruction for crop inputs. When a tote of 5.5 pound Roundup is costing over $16,000, you have to wonder about that.
Yeah.
For a product that doesn't work very well to begin with, you just have to step back and look at that. You really do.
What's that guy from Nebraska that's a comedian? Larry?
Oh, Cable Guy.
Yeah, Cable Guy. He made a video here a while back, and he was making fun of farmers mainly. You know, he makes fun of everybody, yeah, and can't take him very personal. And but he was making fun of, he was doing the deal. It's like the neighbor was spraying, so this other neighbor seen it and stopped and went and hooked his sprayer up and just went and sprayed, didn't know why. That's not the year for making video. This is not going to be the year for making those kind of videos.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
It is not. I wanted to talk a little bit about the cost of dry land cotton production, because everybody wants to grow cotton these days.
Okay.
So if you run a 60-30-20 fertilizer blend and do all the chemical inputs that you did last year, you're basically doing the same thing you did last year. By the time you get that cotton to harvest and you get it in the module or in the bale, you're going to have a yield of 1.2 to 1.3 bales per acre at a price of $1.10 per pound.
To break even. Okay.
That's a pretty risky venture, because we typically don't get both. We either get price or we get yield. It's rare that we get both. If you look back at just this last harvest we just finished, we had price, but in the end, I'm talking generally speaking, we didn't have a great yield. We had an average yield. If the price had been where it was the year before, it would have been another loss or a break-even year. They were fortunate that we had the price this last fall, and then what happened? The big box retailers took it away from you right up front for 2022 with their overpriced production, crop production products and fertilizers. So I think it's going to be extremely difficult in 2022 to make a profit in the cotton field. It may be impossible.
Right.
And on an irrigated acre, by the time you drop that first bale out the back of that picker baler, you're going to have about $1,100 an acre in it, maybe more than that. Depends on where you're at, but about $1,100. So if you think about that, let's go back to the dry land, and if you think about that, you're spending $45 to $50 an acre more this year on inputs than you did last year. Didn't sound bad. Okay. If you have 1,000 acres, I'm just not very smart, but I can do this math. If you have 1,000 acres, you just gave them $45,000 to $50,000 additional dollars this year over last, and you're just starting. So my recommendation is, for you guys who are old enough to remember, just do what Nancy Reagan said. Just say no.
Yeah.
You have the ability to say no. Let them eat that inventory for a while and watch those products pricing come down, especially fertilizer. Because those mines, in the P and the K part of it, they have not much more basis today in those mines than they had 2 years ago or 5 years ago, very little more than they had 10 years ago. Those mines have basically turned into printing presses, and they're printing money like it's going out of style coming out of those mines at these kind of prices.
Right.
They just flat are. So the only other thing I would tell you is, if you have additional money, go invest it in chemical companies to help offset your cost, or go and invest it in mining companies, not gold mining companies, but phosphorus and potash mines. So, and that's not a recommendation. I'm just saying that's what you're facing.
It's reality.
It's reality of it. It really is.
Well, we hit on a little bit during that break, and we were talking about the chemicals, fertilizer, etc. The one thing that I've noticed that hasn't really gone up is seed.
Yeah, seed, and the seed we use here. So let's talk about cotton or corn, milo, maybe alfalfa. Those costs are pretty much flat to have gone down in price, but that's the only sector in the whole picture of agriculture that has gone down. And they haven't gone down dramatically, but there's enough really good varieties. Doesn't matter what company you're talking about. There's enough really good varieties that won't cost you a huge amount of money to get them bought. You don't have to buy now. You don't have to buy the very newest top shelf variety to have a really good yield. You don't. You don't have to do that anymore.
Right.
There's enough what they would call second string, second shelf varieties that are plenty good enough for us on the southern plains. Because let's face it, in cotton, the truth of the matter is, genetically, most of these varieties have the ability to make 40 bale per acre. That's the genetics. We can't even come close to it. We're not even doing 10% of that in real ag production. So genetics isn't really it. As long as you have the crop protection gene that's in there to protect against the boll worm and those kinds of things, in corn, rootworm, earworm, as long as you have that, you can pick varieties that'll work that won't cost you an arm and a leg to do it.
And good soil health.
Yes. So on that point, if you're looking at spending $1,000 a ton, maybe $1,200 by the time it gets here, on fertilizer, so that's $50 or $60 an acre. Just think about this. If you had done a diverse cover crop in the fall, with legumes in there that would survive the winter, and those two for us are hairy vetch, Austrian winter pea, you could have done that for $20. You would have, if you would have done that, you would have killed several birds with one stone. You would have built at least 60 pounds of nitrogen in the soil for use right off the bat, because it's organic. It doesn't have to change. It just has to die, then it becomes available. You would have got the armor on the soil. You would have accomplished four out of the five pillars of soil health. The only thing out of that would have been the livestock, and you could or could not have done that. That would have been your choice. Some farms can because they have water and a fence. Some farms can't because they don't have water or a fence. But nevertheless, that could have been done. And I will say this. If it's a good idea at $1,000 a ton for fertilizer, it's a good idea at $300 a ton too.
Yeah.
If a guy will just concentrate on the soil health part, it'll change your farm. And it'll change your life too. Make your life a lot easier, a lot less stressful. Because you're not at the mercy of the big box stores any longer. You're just not.
Well, you seen a soil sample that I got on our place down at Granite. And this is be the second year since the alfalfa, since we did away with the alfalfa, and we still got nitrogen in the soil.
That's right. And on your dry land areas down there with the lime application, you will not have to add any nutrition whatsoever. It's there. It's just locked up because the soil pH is out of line. But if you bring that soil pH back and get rid of your buffer index, lime will do that, then there'll be no input cost for you. So assuming you get a little rain and things go about half right for you, you should make pretty good money on a per acre basis.
Yep, with a lot less cost.
With very little cost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, Kent, man, it's my favorite Wednesday of the month, every month for when you come in. But anyway, Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech here in Elk City was in here to join me. We didn't have any good news, but there's some hope.
Yeah, I mean, it's you have the ability to say no.
Yeah.
And this year would be a good year to say no. It really would, because we're sitting here with no moisture in the forecast anytime soon. And I'd be in touch with my crop insurance people and make sure you've got everything squared up there. I think it's going to be extremely hard to make any profit in the cotton field.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a lot easier to make profit in the corn field either, but there's just a lot less input in that.
Right. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
All right.
Appreciate it.
It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We'll be right back after this. And my most wanted guest is in the studio finally after 2 months of begging. So anyway, we'll be right back.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 17th. 2,213 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 458 brought 206. 7 at 548 brought 161. 5 at 612 brought 153. 15 at 652 brought 146.50. 5 at 884 brought 144.50. 10 head of heifers at 342 brought 170. 8 at 454 brought 156.50. 6 at 503 brought 148.50. 3 at 598 brought 136. 12 at 660 brought 139.50. Butcher cows were 34 to 81. Butcher bulls 49 to 94. Bred cows 700 to 1150. Pairs brought 635 to 2535. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Well, temperature's not changed, and 37 degrees. Winds are still out of the northeast, so nothing's changed outside, but I have our Long Ranger coming on up, or not on, but up here just shortly. But in the big house today, finally, Brandon and I agreed on a date, and our date is today. Brandon Hickey, owner of the Elk City Livestock Auction and owner over there at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. They're a couple of my favorite reports to do every week because he always texts me like 2 o'clock in the morning, here's your report, buddy. and then I question him back, and he asked me what I'm doing up. I don't sleep. So anyway, but Brandon, thanks for coming in.
Glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited you're in here. I'm almost as excited as Ken, but, you know, both of you, two different parts, but it's all ag.
He has a lot of information.
Isn't that great?
He puts together a program when he comes on here. He don't just get in here and BS his way through it with you like I do. He's got notes. He's got a program.
That's why you and I get along so good, because we're both BSers. But anyway, well, let's start with last year. What happened with the cattle? Just overall last year from start to finish.
Well, you know, things got really bleak last year. You know, with the February-March wheat pasture cattle run did its typical crash and burn. I mean, the prices that some of these guys were getting for their calves that they was bringing off of wheat in February and March was pitiful.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, they put a lot of weight on those cattle for almost nothing. for what they could have got for them in the fall coming right off the cows. And that's so frustrating. You know, as a producer, when you put the extra time in, you put the extra effort in, you get a pasture. You know, we obviously had a lot better wheat pasture last year, prospects, than what we do this year. But there wasn't any reward for doing that, because the feedlots thought they had all the cattle they needed. The prices wrecked. It was, you know, it was not a pretty picture. It's a typical picture. I mean, we see it more often than not, February, March, that the feedlots get full and flooded and the prices go down. But it seemed like it was really extreme last year. It was it was not a fun time to be a producer that had kept your calf crop and held on to it, or for that matter, a producer that had bought a bunch of stocker calves in the fall and, you know, had good wheat. Calves grew good. They did well, but, you know, you didn't get rewarded at all for that when it came time. When it came time to get those cattle off of wheat in February and March, and it got a little better for the graze out guys. I mean, we did see an increase in the prices for the graze out guys. It did get better for the April and May guys, considerably better than the February and March. But then once we got into the summer month, I mean, it just blew the roof off this thing for feedlot ready cattle. It just went up, and every week you'd think, okay, well, we've got to be at the top, and it just kept going up, and it's maintained that all the way through the month of December. I mean, you know, every month or every week you think, oh, well, it'll probably go back down, and if it does for a week, then the next week it's back up, you know, $3 or $4 than it was the previous week. Mm-hmm. It's been a really crazy market. You know, you don't expect this, and the calves to a certain extent have followed it. I mean, you know, we didn't see that October crash that we should have seen this year.
$2 400-pound calves.
I mean, as dry as it was, and with the feed costs, I mean, I was concerned we were in for a really bad train wreck on our fall calf run, and it didn't happen. It didn't materialize. I mean, it stayed good. You know, the calves didn't sell as high as they could have for what the feeder cattle were bringing. You know, there was a pretty big gap there between a feedlot ready calf and a calf off the cow. But considering as dry as we were in the input cost, that we had a phenomenal fall for selling calves this fall. Just a completely different scenario than what we were in the previous February and March prior to that.
Yeah, because these guys, farmers and ranchers, worked their butt off putting calves out on wheat pasture last winter or a year ago, and they had some. You know, we started getting a little dry there in February, but that was the reason some of them had to pull off and go ahead and sell. And people don't understand that this guy sold this for this much in February, and it's his calf that he raised on the farm, and in December or November or October, September, whenever. He could have sold a smaller calf and got the same money. That's how crazy it was last winter. And instead, he was out there feeding them hay, putting miles on his truck, could have been building fence or doing something else, but he was babysitting some cattle, didn't make him any money.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And so it was, slaughter cattle really never took a nosedive this fall, did it? I mean, there for a couple weeks it did, but...
Yeah, you know, the Packers have had such a stranglehold on this thing for so long that I'm really, really surprised to see this thing. You know, we're nearing $1.40, you know, 38, I believe, last week on fat cattle prices. I mean, we're getting up there close to $1.40. I was concerned that we might not see that, you know, they've been able to all that time they were over $400 on their boxed beef, and we weren't able to barely break $1.20.
Right.
You know, and so now they're down in the 250, 280 range, and we're nearing $1.40 on these fat cattle. So that has been a very pleasant surprise.
It's a good surprise.
Yes. And like a lot of things, it's, you know, I think a lot of it's inflation driven. I think we're in a very inflation driven market right now, without a doubt. But it's still, I was concerned we might not see that, and we're being able to get that fat cattle price up, which is great for these feedlots that, you know, they've been at a negative or a very, very tight margin for a while. they're going to make some money here for a little while with these higher prices. For a month or two down the road, we're going to start getting into some lot higher inputs again, and it's going to have to maintain this for these to the feedlots continue to make money. I mean, it's good now, and it's going to be good for a month or two yet, but the input costs, they're not going away.
No, they're not. So, soybeans over $13, and fuel, vehicles, pickups. Yes. Mm-hmm. You can't even find a good used pickup out there right now, and there's no new ones on the lot.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're coming, but just that. There's a lot more to just a bale of hay and a sack of feed
yes,
to taking care of a cattle or a cow. But do you think at the processor from the feedlot, that's changed a lot in the last 2 or 3 months, where it looks like either the processors are doing more, getting their workers back from the COVID crap, and the feedlots were backlogged for a while, but it looks like, looking at numbers, they've caught up.
Yeah, we're very current right now, which is a very good situation to be in. You know, I don't want to ever get too overly optimistic when it comes to fat cattle prices, because the packers just seem to be able to make things happen that you don't expect sometimes. Right. You know and that's the downside of the feedlot guys. You know, they have a perishable product that has to, certain a time, it's got to be moved. You know, you can't just continue to hang on to that, or as Mr. Watkins said, leave it on the shelf.
Yeah.
At some point it's got to go. Where, you know, they leave them chemicals, and as fertilizers, we can leave them sit on the shelf and
cattle
develop a backlog of them. But cattle, you can't do that. They only get bigger and produce more pounds and get you further behind the eight ball. So so you need to try to stay current. But boy, it gets you into a situation when, you know, those packers want to back off just a little bit. And back the prices down, and you know, they say, well, we're not going to bid up for cattle this week. Well, you hold those cattle and put that extra weight and that extra pounds and that extra meat on them, and try to regain the control the next week, or do you give in for lower prices? And it's a hard deal. I'm glad that I don't have to deal with that on a week to week basis.
I wouldn't want to either. You hear about it. You got President Biden Monday come out with the big deal that they're going to do, spend more money on smaller processors. But, the flip side of that is, even I watched it because I drove by it every day, Route 66 processing over at Sayre. That didn't happen overnight. And the cattle market can fluctuate pretty quick, but the fix-alls, it's going to take time,
and that $1 billion that they're going to pour into it,
it's already probably gone.
Well, and it's great if it gets used the right way,
right?
You know, I mean, it. You know, but yeah, we don't need any more small processors right now. We need some big major competition in the market,
right?
You know, we've got four processors companies that own 86% of the industry right now, and that's not sustainable if you want a competitive active market to really.
We need some more big boys.
You do. You need some more competition in there. And if the $1 billion gets spent towards that direction, then there's a chance it will help. But you know, if they go in there and just make a bunch more of these, 20, 40, 100, even 1,000 head a week is a drop in the bucket. And it's
we need 1,000 head a day.
We need a big process.
I know there's a big one going in Missouri, and I guess there's a big one now going into Iowa. But that one that I seen that's going into Iowa is huge. It'll compete with the four big boys, but it'll be 2 years before it's running.
Sure. Yep.
So we got a lot to take care of between now. Well, you're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I got Mr. Brandon Hickey in here from Elk City and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And you got some more time, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale is Thursday, January the 6th. We're expecting 3,500 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Levy, got 118 steers, number 7 to 8. Elk City, 25 calves, 4.5, and 60 steers, 6.5. Kingfisher got 40 mixed cattle at 6. Woodward, 63 mixed at 8. Laverne, 23 mixed, 6.5. Levy got 64 steers at 8. Arkansas, 70 mixed at 7. Woodward, 41 steers, 7.5. Canadian, Texas, 47 heifers, 7.5. Shattuck got 206 steers, 7.5 to 8. Bologna, Arkansas, 58 steers, numbers 5 to 650. Slapout got 189 heifers, 6.5 to 7.5. Childress, Texas, 110 mixed, 6 to 7. Childress, Texas, 84 steers, numbers 5 to 750. Adair, Oklahoma, 77 mixed, 6.5. Canadian, Texas, 21 heifers, 6.5. Dover, 85 mixed at 6. And Watonga, 63 steers, numbers 7.5. Again, we're expecting 3,500 cattle. We will start the auction 8 a.m. sharp. This next Tuesday, January the 11th, we will have 75 black bred cows, 3 to 6 years old, up a one outfit. We'll see you this Thursday at 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
37 degrees, winds still out of the northeast, nothing's changed there, but here's your forecast. 45 today, and it's going to have to hurry to get there. 12 degrees tonight, blustery, and 28 tomorrow. So, as I will say on my report tomorrow morning, the fireplace alert is in effect. So get the fireplace going. 13 degrees tomorrow, 44 Friday, 69 Saturday. I mean, just gorgeous Saturday, but bam, here it comes back again Saturday night, but not terrible. 29 with a 47 degrees high. That's brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Back in the, staying in the studio with me for the last part of the show, and we got 10 minutes to talk cattle and is Brandon Hickey with the Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. We were talking earlier, if you're just joining, we were talking just about how crazy last year was, and really nobody knows what's going to happen this year. But the bad thing about it is Texas Panhandle, Western Oklahoma, Kansas, the Oklahoma Panhandle too, Kansas, we're in a drought. And it's not a pretty one. And it's got to start affecting the cattle market sooner or later, because some people are going to start overloading it. I'm thinking. It makes sense anyway. And it's good for sale barn, but later down the road it'll show up again. And plus, to top off last year's deal, the North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, the whole West Coast, New Mexico and Arizona, they were in a drought and they were culling cattle. And what do you think's gonna? What do you think? What's the future look like for us? I mean, I don't want to be pessimistic, but it could be good or it could be bad if we get a rain pretty quick.
Right. Well, you know, like I said a while ago, we're in an inflation driven market right now. You know, everything's pointing to the upside. Unfortunately, with the inputs and whatnot, everything needs to point to the upside. You know, we need to be headed in an upward direction to be able to maintain the pace and for the producers to be profitable in 2022. I mean, looks great. I mean, last time I looked, I didn't look in the last day or two, but last time I looked, the next September feeder cattle was sitting like 182.
Yeah.
You know, and that's phenomenal. I mean, you know, that looks really, really good. But there's some calves that can be wrought right now that are definitely money makers at that level, provided we get the rain, you know, provided we've got something for them to eat. You know, if you go to buying those calves now at the prices where they're at, and then you have to start feeding them every bite they've got to eat, it turns into a whole different scenario. And you know, there's still potential there, but the upside potential goes to getting limited pretty quick when you have to go to putting the feed cost into those cattle. So, you know, rain makes them to make some spring wheat grazing and then some summer fall grass grazing could be phenomenal for some of these producers with the calf prices where they're at now. I mean, we're in a good calf market, but compared to where the feeder cattle are, they could be exponentially higher with some moisture. You know, I mean, there's a lot of guys sitting on their hands going, I'm not going to buy calves because I don't want to have to feed them with these high feed costs. But they're, you know, looking down the road, if we get the rain and we potentially get some graze out weed and some spring and summer grass grazing, the potential's there for these cattle to make a lot of money with where the futures boards are currently sitting. But it's a little unnerving to go out there and buy these $800-$900 calves. Even looking at that, when you go to thinking about the feed costs and whatnot,
right.
So you know, there's some decisions that have to be made there about the feed costs and whatnot. Now, you know, we get into a situation where we start getting some moisture, and the competition for these calves is liable to go through the roof for the calves ready to be grazed that are ready to go to the wheat pasture or go to the grass. The competition could I mean, we could increase these calf prices another $200 or $300 a head with where the futures board is currently sitting. But the only reason that hasn't happened is we don't have any moisture to say that there's going to be any spring or summer grazing available as of yet. If that changes, these calf prices could get really high. You know, and when that happens, usually the replacement cows and everything else will follow, you know, those calves,
right,
up. You know, we, like I say, we're in a good calf market, and we're in a good replacement female market, but in comparison, historically, of where they are in relation to the feeder board, you know, we're a long ways down from where they would be if we had moisture. So I'm not sure what we're going to do going forward. Again, I'm glad I'm not
the
in a
board
situation.
Looks good.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in a situation where I'm having to make that decision of, do I buy these calves and feed them this high priced feed, or do I sit on my hands and wait and see if I get moisture? Because we could go from a good market to as a cow calf producer or a guy that's got stocker ready calves. You know, you're sitting in a situation where the prices are good, but they could really, really go through the roof if we start getting some moisture.
Right. What the last couple sales that you had at Elk City and Clinton, what did you see with the cow market, with the cows? What did you see at your special sales?
Well, it looks like that as far as the special sales, there are some guys that are needing to restock. There's definitely some interest in some replacement females out there. There's grass available, but again, we're now that you see that a lot of times right before the first of the year, the guys, okay, I need to get some cows bought. You know, I've got a little money I need to get spent. I need to take advantage of some depreciation. A lot of times you see that drop off a little bit when you get into the month of January, February, because now we're into, well, the depreciation factor is not there. I don't know whether or not I'm going to have spring grass. I've got grass maybe sitting here, got pastures available, but why buy these cows now when I'm going to have to feed them the rest of the winter? I'll just wait until the green grass gets here, you know, waiting. So you typically, we historically see a drop off in replacement female costs, prices in January and the first part of February, and as we get close to spring, then they start perking back up again. Of course, we haven't had a sale yet. I don't know that that's going to bear out this year. You know, I feel like that probably that's what's going to happen with the lack of moisture and whatnot. We're going to see some guys back off and sit on their hands a little bit and wait and see what's going to happen with the moisture situation. But again, the upside potential in the replacement female market is huge, provided we get moisture. You know, and you know, at some point, I mean, we've been dry for quite a little while now. You and like I've heard you say, we're one day closer.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, we've got to be, you know, we've got to reach that turning point and go the other way. You know, good Lord willing, we're not in a 2011-12 pattern where, you know, where we go such a long period without moisture. I mean, you know, this doesn't feel like that to me yet. It feels like we're more of a typical Western Oklahoma feast or famine.
Term,
yeah, feast or famine. You know, we had a really, really great summer. You know, the moisture situation for most everybody, I know there were some pockets that were dry, but for most everybody, you know, the moisture situation this summer was phenomenal. You know, we got into September, October, November, December, and
we got those rains so that we, man, it looked like there was no end, and bam,
yeah.
I mean, it just somebody turned that faucet off.
Yeah, there's a lot of places that's going on 120 days with less than a half inch of moisture. You know, some people maybe trace, you know, 1-2 tenths. I mean, that's a long period. And, you know, and it's in a period of time that, you know, it's not terrible for a grass situation. If you're a grass guy, but it's horrible for a wheat pasture situation. I mean, about the worst case scenario for that.
Well, we got about a minute left. And tell me if I'm wrong or right, because you're the expert in my book. I've noticed that the bred heifer market has been different than the bred cow, the pears, and the calf market. It just seems like they're just kind of staying right there. Nothing's going up or down on them. Am I looking at that right?
No, that you're correct. You know, there's getting to be less and less people out there all the time that want to take the time to calve the heifers that, you know, that are willing to step out and buy those heifers. And so you've got less availability to sell them. So, you know, it keeps the prices more steady. You know, you kind of you get a set of suppliers that are getting to be pretty constant, and they're kind of getting where who's going to buy those them is getting pretty constant, and so
got a game plan.
Yeah. So you're staying very steady on the bred heifer deal, and you're not seeing mass fluctuations because there's getting to be less of those guys I'm going to go buy a bunch of bred heifers and calve them out and start me a new cow herd. You know, a lot more of those guys are transitioning into, I'm going to buy that older cow.
Well, that's my signal, that music. You hear it? You hear that music?
I can hear it.
That's my Shut Up Jimmy music. But anyway, I have Brandon Hickey in here from Elk City and the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. And what a great show today. You're listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
From the biggest stars.
Rick Homie.
KECO, Elk City.
A deadly fire in Philadelphia. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. Officials in Philadelphia say an early morning fire has left at least 13 dead, including 7 children.
Philly Deputy Fire Commissioner Craig Murphy confirmed the home was part of the city's public housing program.
I don't have the words for how we're feeling right now as a community and as a department.
No cause is being given. Investigators are looking into it and say the home appeared to have non-working smoke detectors, but passed inspection in 2020.
Fox's Evan Brown. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky says genetic tests show Omicron continues to be the dominant coronavirus strain in the country.
Omicron represents about 95% of cases in the country, and Delta represents the remaining 5% of the cases.
Dr. Walensky says COVID cases are up 98% over the past week. A Senate panel is looking into security at the U.S. Capitol building a day before the country marks a year since the building was breached by rioters.
U.S. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger says the department is absolutely better prepared to defend the Capitol than it was a year ago.
Few changes are as dramatic as the ones that we've made to the way we gather, analyze, share, use, and disseminate intelligence.
The chief is updating the Senate Rules and Administration Committee on upgrades to the police force.
Got new equipment on order. We're going to, it's upgraded, it's better, and we'll be deploying that as soon as it comes in.
Manger says the department is also dealing with an officer shortage, with plans to hire 280 new officers this fiscal year.
Fox's Jared Halpern in Washington. The White House says President Biden's speech tomorrow, marking the one-year anniversary of the January 6th violence at the Capitol, will lay out former President Trump's, quote, singular responsibility in the attack. America's listening to Fox News.
Why does Walgreens offer copays as low as $0 and 90-day refills? Because we care about Medicare, so you don't have to. I mean, do you really care to hear me go on about same-day prescription delivery making your life easier? Or how there's a pharmacy expert available 24/7 and one-click refills? Well, I just did anyways. Fill your Medicare prescriptions with Walgreens and save.
$0 copays apply to Tier 1 generic drugs and select plans with Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy. Restrictions apply. See walgreens.com/Medicare for complete details.
Has this ever happened to you? My friend was telling me about his new pair of headphones, so I looked them up online. Now, everywhere I go is a creepy ad for those headphones I looked at one time. I hate that feeling like I'm being watched. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
New year, new ride, right here at Bart Rice and Ford of Elk City, Western Oklahoma's auto headquarters. For the next 2 weeks, take advantage of great incentives on Ford SUVs, like 0% for 60 months and customer bonus cash on the all-new 21 Ford Edge and Expedition. Plus, new units arriving daily. Come experience the Bart Rice difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BartRiceandFord.net.
Edge SEL, stock number T16110, Expedition Stealth Edition, stock number A10101, WAC through 4 credit financing, 0% APR for 60 months to 1667 per month, per $1,000 finance. Exclusions apply, see dealer for details.
The biggest songs.
Great songs.
From the biggest stars.
Taylor Steve.
Dierks Blake.
Wow.
96.5 KECO.
Touching down. 6 night honeymoon, sun-kissed kiss, still drunk on love, went from all-inclusive margarita.